Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 7, verse 1 through 9. "Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with the defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft or often, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they were come from the market, except they wash, or unless they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen or brass vessels and of tables." Verse 5, "Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashen hands? He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain or for nothing do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition." Preaching for a few minutes the subject, "Full well ye reject the commandment of God." Heavenly Father, please help me to preach and give understanding to those that listen. And as I pray very many times, Sir, we would see Jesus. And Lord, we thank you in that wonderful name. Amen. The Pharisees had all these rules. And you can find this in the Gospels, that Christ and the Pharisees butted heads. He also had some interaction with the Sadducees, the scribes, what have you. But mostly it was the Pharisees. And this passage here, we see that they said, "Hey, how come your disciples, you're a rabbi, right? How come your disciples, the people that go to your church, what have you, how come they don't keep our laws?" And there's a lot here I'd like to take a look at, quite a bit, actually. But he answered from the Scripture, as it is written, if you remember when he was tempted in the wilderness. He said that Isaiah prophesied of hypocrites, and said that Isaiah said that the time would come that God's people would honor him with their lips. In other words, say all the right things, maybe do all the right things, but that their heart would be far from him. There's a concept called fence laws. If you remember in the garden, God told Adam, look, eat anything you want, but that one tree, don't eat the fruit. And when Satan came to tempt Eve, what she said was that God said, don't even touch it. Which is not what God said. He said, don't eat of it. A fence law is a law about a fence. God said, look, don't do that thing over there. But a religious man, in this case the Pharisees, they would build a fence between you and the thing that you're not supposed to touch. And that by keeping the religious law, you would supposedly not even get close enough to break God's law. But that means that you're obeying men and religious rules. And again, there's thousands and thousands of churches and denominations and whatever. And they all teach different things. How do you know that you're obeying the right religious rule? We need to scrap all of that and just obey what God said. Let's go to the Word of God. Let's try to figure out what it means to the best of our ability. Pray for understanding. Go talk to our pastor. Read a commentary. Get Strong's. Whatever you need to do. But understand the Word of God and obey that. And forget religious rules. The reason why there are so many denominations is because they don't agree. Everybody's got their own private interpretation. And the Word of God says plainly that the Bible is not up to any private interpretation. Paul said we ought to all speak the same things. And that excludes the religion of men. And he said that you Pharisees, you're rejecting the commandment of God so that you can keep your own tradition, and then you teach everybody else to follow you instead of me, God says. But reading on, and honestly, my notes, I've got up to verse 23, but in two more sections, Jesus starts in verse 10 and talks about another tradition. But he says in verse 13 that the Pharisees were making the word of God of none effect, or useless and powerless. We know that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We know that. But if we put a fence between the people and the word of God, we have nullified and made useless and powerless the thing that God actually said. You've made the Word of God of none effect through your traditions, which you've delivered or teach the people. Then he begins to teach a bit, and he says that it's not what goes into a man. In other words, whatever thing it was that was being religiously washed off of the hands and the dishes, the pots, whatever. If you forget to wash your hands and whatever religious thing you're supposed to be washing off, if you forget and eat, and the cooties or germs or whatever, religiously speaking, you ingest them, they're not going to defile you. Later on, when he's talking to his disciples, he gives the interpretation, and in verse 20. It says, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within and defile a man. But if you break a religious rule, that doesn't defile you. You understand the difference. God never called us to keep a bunch of religious rules. He called us that from the heart, we'd read the Word of God or hear it preached or what have you, and say, Lord, I want to obey. From the heart. It says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. If we'd obey that, instead of a bunch of religious rules, then we'd deal with the problem, which is the heart. And again, he lists all of these things. Adulteries, fornications, murders, what have you. God is concerned with the heart, not keeping a bunch of religious rules. Again, God is concerned with the heart and with the actual Word of God, not what the rabbis taught 2,000 years ago or teach now. We're Christians. We think about Christianity. We'll read about what's a Pharisee, we don't know. What's a Sadducee, we don't know. But we understand that there are Jews today in the world. We know in New Orleans, on Claiborne, I believe it is, there's one on West Esplanade, if I'm not mistaken, all over the city. I don't know how many there are. Let's say there's a half a dozen synagogues in the city. So Jews are with us today. Most of the synagogues are Orthodox, which is a strict observance to whatever laws or rules or what have you. They are analogous to the Pharisees of old. They tell themselves that they're descendants of the old Pharisees. And they're very much big on rules. Then there's the reform synagogues, what have you. And they're not so big on the rules. Then there's the Karaite. There's a few of them. And they are, in fact, descendants of the Sadducees. And you can do what I did. I went to Wikipedia and I spent some time researching, following links, what have you. And I guess I know a little bit more now than I did then, but what distinguishes Orthodox from Reformed and what have you? I'm sure there's other sects that I don't really know about. But what distinguishes the sects is their adherence to the various laws. But it's not just the Old Testament. It's not just, oh, let's see what Moses said, or what did Jeremiah say, or let's look at David in the Psalms. It's not just that. And that's the problem. That was the problem back then in Mark chapter 7. That's the problem today. They have what they call the oral law, which is, a good part of it would be rabbis of old. They would come up with a commentary. And if there's a psalm that's got 10 verses, the rabbi's got 200 lines of commentary. And they'll study that, and they'll study it, and they'll study it, and they'll argue back and forth about the oral law, and they won't spend as much time with the written Word of God. They will put the oral law on equal or actually a more firm footing than the written. They will say that the oral law pretty much supersedes Moses. Now, if you put it in that kind of term, they say, no, Moses. Moses is the one. But honestly, it's the rabbis that interpret Moses. They're the ones that get followed. In other words, it's a fence law. It's in between the Jew and Moses, or the written word of God. There's the Talmud, there's the Midrash, there's a bunch of different texts and what have you. You may have heard of something called the Kabbalah, which is more of a mystical book. Not necessarily interpretations, but mysticism. And we'll get to that a little bit later. There was a movie that I saw some years ago, probably 20 years ago, whatever, called A Stranger Among Us. There was Melanie Griffith. The idea was that she was investigating a murder or something like that, and she went to live with the rabbi and spent weeks or months or whatever in the community, and then finally she found out who was the murderer or whatever. And another movie that comes to mind would be The Jazz Singer, not the old black and white one, but the remade one. They show the two refrigerators that Jews have, one for meat and one for dairy, what have you. And again, there's a verse that says that thou shalt not boil or braise or what have you a kid in his mother's milk. But then they'll take this one verse and they'll extend it and says you can't have any meat and you can't have any dairy anywhere on the same. I mean, you can't. You got to use two different plates. You got to have two different refrigerators. And they go on and on with this. But the fact is, in America, there are dairy cows and there are beef critters. There's no possible way that you're going to come up with a cow that gave birth to a calf and you milk the cow and you kill the calf and you cook them together. It's simply just not going to happen that circumstance would come into play. So instead of actually obeying the word of God, to purposely do that, this elaborate system of rules is erected. And it keeps the people from a relationship with God. If you think I'm picking on Jews, I'm not. Because Christians do the same thing. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, a verse that I quote again and again and again. To the law, to the actual word of God, and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And in Christ's dealings with mostly the Pharisees, but again also the Sadducees, what have you, that is what he said of them. And again, in this passage here, Mark chapter 7, that they had made the word of God of none effect. Again, if God says, for instance, John 3:16, if we preach that, if we preach Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23, what have you, someone might get saved. But if instead of that, we say, well, you know, you ought to come to church and you ought to give in the bucket and you need to learn to stop spitting on the sidewalk. And look, follow all these good rules we have and try to be a good person. If that is our message, the person will die lost. They will go to hell. When you had the opportunity to tell them of God's love. You had the opportunity to tell them, yeah, you're a sinner, But look at God's gift. And hopefully you understand how much of a tragedy that would be, and how displeased God would be with us when we get to heaven and said, Lord, look how many people we told not to spit on the sidewalk and to give in the bucket. We have to teach the Word of God. We have to teach the Word of God and not our religious rules. But you don't understand, preacher, my denomination is one of the good ones. So? And who says it's one of the good ones anyhow? The measure of a church and of a denomination and a ministry and a pastor is how much he decreases, as John the Baptist said, so that Christ would increase. How much does he get out of the way? And what is the purity of his message? Again, the church or the pastor or the denomination or what have you. How pure is the message to say, hey, look at Jesus and what he did? If the people know, well, let me see, I'm in a Baptist church, I have to do this and I have to say this at the right time. Or, well, next week I'm going to visit Aunt So-and-so and they're Methodists, and so we can't act like Baptists. Got to act like Methodists. Or Catholic. Got to know when to stand and when to sit and when to kneel and when to do this. And when they turn to you and say, God be with you, and you got to know what to say back. That's religion. That has nothing to do with the Bible. God isn't interested in all of these shibboleths. He doesn't care. God doesn't care about any of that. What he wants us to do is to preach Christ and him crucified, yea, rather, and is risen again. And forget the religious jazz. He said, if I be lifted up, not your denomination, don't go trumpet your denomination, but if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. We need to be about the Father's business. You know, in my Bible it says, Christ is speaking, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But in my Bible, I've got a red letter edition. When Jesus is speaking, and we know that he's speaking, we're sure of it, then the people that print the Bible, they put his words in red. We need to make sure, as one of my old pastors said long ago, that we're not building our church black letter. If we lead people to our church or our denomination or our theology, we've failed in the eyes of God. He said, if I, Jesus, be lifted up, if I, Jesus, be lifted up, if I, Jesus, be preached, then I'll draw all men unto myself. And if we do that faithfully and get out of the way, then at the last day he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter in to the joy of the Lord. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.